Morning.
See what I have today. What this is? Bandages. That's right. Bandages. Because we're talking about somebody today who had a disease. They had a disease. And we're talking about the time that Jesus healed the leper. And not to be confused with the word leopard, right? He didn't have a sick cat that came to him. But he had somebody that had leprosy. We call it today, call it Hansen's disease, because it's still around today some. But back then, it was a terrible disease, a skin disease. They get sores, their fingers and hands might go numb, they might go blind, they would attack their nose, sometimes their nose would fall off. Pretty terrible disease. And so much so that it was so infectious and contagious that the Bible had certain rules. So they had to like rip their clothes. They would take bandages and rags and they'd have to wrap up and cover their sores. They had to yell out, unclean, whenever they came near people. And they had to stay outside cities and towns. They weren't allowed inside. They weren't allowed to touch anybody. And nobody wanted to touch them. All right, can you imagine somebody coming up looking all covered up like a mummy and it's all crusty and bloody and,
ugh.
Right? And there's several instances where Jesus is walking. He just comes into town and there's a crowd of people with him and a leper comes straight up to Jesus. Can you imagine that? And this person must have been desperate. They knew that they couldn't get close to people. And he comes right up to Jesus. Can you imagine being in that crowd? Being like, ooh. You know, this person comes up to Jesus and your entire culture is don't go near this person. Don't touch this person. And everybody kind of, I'm sure, stood back like, what in the world? Right? But you know what Jesus did? He touched him. And not only does he touch him, he heals him. And because of the faith of that leper, all of his disease, he was able to take it all off, all the rags, all the bandages, and he was clean. And he was clean. Because Jesus cares about the outcasts. He cares about people who are left out. He cares about those who can't be touched. And he touches them. So next time that you're feeling like, you know, you're left out. Maybe you didn't get picked you were picked last for dodgeball, right? Maybe when the teacher was asking for partners, right? And you get left out and you have to be partner with the teacher, right? Or maybe you see people like that. Maybe there's students at your school or people around that get left out of a lot of things, and you can be like Jesus and you can include them. And you can touch them in appropriate ways, right? But you can reach out and be their friend because that's what Jesus does, right? And we're going to learn more about Jesus touching the untouchables this morning.
Thank you, Brother Ben. Good morning. It is good to see everybody here this morning. We have with us back with us, Tess is back with us again today. Certainly glad to have Tess back with us. And then I don't see Monica now. Monica's out with the baby somewhere, but Monica's here today. She hasn't been here for a while. Brought her little baby daughter, Adeline, is with her. And I think Adeline turned 2 months old yesterday, I believe. So it's good to have them with us today. I want you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8, if you will, please. Matthew chapter 8. We are starting a series today called Touching the Untouchables. And we're going to begin with the leper. So let's look at Matthew chapter 8, begin with verse 1. And just follow with me as we read. And when Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds were following him. A man with leprosy came and he knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately he was cured of his leprosy. And then Jesus said to him, see that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and other, and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Of course, as you read this account in the other Gospels, you find out that he went and told everybody. Because, I mean, here he is, cleansed of leprosy, and he wanted people to know what Jesus did for him. There is a story about a young preacher who goes to pray with an elderly woman who is near death. And as he walks into her hospital room, she's lying restlessly on the pillow, gasping for breath. And he visits her for a few minutes, and then he says, I need to go, but would you like for us to have prayer? Like for me to pray with you? And the woman nodded. And then the preacher asked, well, what is it that you like for me to pray for? And she answered in a faint voice, pray that I be healed. And believing his time, that her time was short, this young minister hesitantly began, Lord, we pray for the sustaining presence with our sick sister. And if it is your will, we pray that she'll be restored to health and to service. But if it's not your will, we pray that you will give her the faith to accept whatever your will is. And suddenly, the old woman opens her eyes and sits up in bed. And she throws her feet over to the side of the bed, stands up, and says, I think I'm healed. And then she strides out the door. The last of the minister saw this lady was her skipping down the hall toward the nurse's station saying, look at me. And the minister leaves the hospital, walks slowly toward the parking lot, and before he opens his door to his car, he looks up into heaven and he prays, dear Lord, please don't ever do that to me again. You know, we might be amazed when we see the healing power of God. We might be amazed at that and see it at work. But Jesus was one who brought not only physical healing, but most importantly, he brought emotional and spiritual healing to people that were often shunned by society. I mean, imagine for a moment Jesus coming down off the mountainside with crowds of people following closely behind him. A commotion stirred in the crowd. And Jesus turns and he sees what is happening, and he begins the people just begin to scatter, you know, left and right. And Jesus then hears a faint voice, unclean, unclean. And looking up, Jesus sees a leper who would normally avoid the crowds at all costs, coming toward him. And the people are fleeing because they know that the law of Moses forbade anyone to come in contact with a leper. To do so would make them unclean. But Jesus isn't running. After, you know, walking up to Jesus, the leper falls to his knees before him and says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Now, cleansing a leper would be tantamount to raising the dead. But the man expresses no doubt of Jesus' power, only his concern for Jesus' willingness. And then Jesus does the unthinkable and the unlawful. He reaches out and touches the leper. I am willing, he said, be clean. You know, we run into different kinds of people in our lifetime, and in a country like ours where there was such a melting pot of humanity, I mean, there will be people that we can rejoice over. Bring up the next slide, if you will, please, Marilyn. There will be people that we can rejoice over, and then there will be those that we would just rather ignore. or that they be banished. And the latter group is the untouchables of our society. They just don't fit in. Some are shunned because they just don't meet society standards. The disabled, the diseased, the poor, the homeless, the racially different, and so on. Others whose lifestyles don't conform to the teachings of Christ are often heartlessly avoided by religionists who would prefer that they stay far away rather than make an effort to reach out to them with the transforming message of Jesus. But who did God come for? Well, we like to believe that God came for the good people. Us church-going folks, this makes more sense to us. And yet Jesus demonstrated time and again that he came not for those who were well, but for those who were sick physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And Christ's example is a great challenge to us Christians as we examine for the next few weeks the kinds of people that Jesus ministered to. And learning how Jesus dealt with the untouchables during his ministry calls us, brother and sister, it calls us to reach out to those who make us feel uncomfortable, to those that we would rather not have to deal with, to those that we would dismiss as even being deserving of God's love and favor. How easily we forget the kind of love it took for God to accept us. I mean, just think about your life. Think about the things you have done in your life. I mean, we are not always lovable people. Am I right about that? Okay, Don Martyr's pretty lovable, okay? But we're not always lovable people, and we're certainly not always good people. In fact, because of our sin, we were all separated from God. But then came Jesus, sent by the Father to touch us and to make us clean. And we, the untouchables, were touched by God. Not because we deserve it. Not because we were worthy. Not because we are lovable. Not because we are good. Only because God loves us. Amen? God loves us. Ironically, it was often the most abused, the most outcast, and the most rejected by society that found the love of Christ so rich and full. I mean, some of the sweetest and best of spiritual things comes from the greatest pains and tragedies that we experience in life, as long as Christ is right in the middle of it. So I want us to begin by taking a look, first of all, at the unclean man, okay? The unclean man. Now, as you read about the ministry of Jesus, you find multitudes of people following him. A leper, however, found it more difficult than most to come close to Jesus. And because a leper was considered unclean as designated by the law of Moses, he had to live alone outside the city. He was to have no human contact whatsoever, including that of his very own family. And leprosy, as described in the Bible, was a hideous, foul disease. Dr. Paul Brand, a missionary, a medical doctor, a surgeon, spent years in India studying and treating those with leprosy. And he writes in his book, In the Likeness of God, this words as he describes what leprosy is. He says, leprosy generally begins with pain in certain areas of the body. Numbness follow. Soon the skin in such spots loses its original color. It gets to be thick, glossy, and scaly. And by the way, the Greek word for leprosy, lepros, means scales, okay? I opted not to show you any photos. Dr. Brand continues, as the sickness progresses, the infected areas become dirty sores and ulcers due to poor blood supply. The skin, especially around the eyes and ears, begins to bunch with deep furrows between the swellings, so that the face of the afflicted individual begins to resemble that of the lion. Leprosy is also known as the lion's disease. Fingers and toes drop off or are absorbed. Hair falls out. Blindness often occurs, not because the person can't see, but the eyelids cannot be opened. Leprosy results in a lingering, humiliating death. Anything you can find on Dr. Paul Brand, read it. Read it. Read about his life. You know, Luke records that the man in our story was actually covered with leprosy. Covered with leprosy. And whether there was a law that commanded people to stay away from this man or not, I'm sure that nobody wanted to be near him. I mean, no one could even stand the sight of him. I mean, here is this man who is literally an outcast. And you know he's lonely. He's got to be a lonely person. I mean, he has no one to support him, not even his family. And I'm sure that he would rather die than exist the way that he is forced to live his life. And you know, and we may think how barbaric the way sick people are mistreated. You know, sadly, even today, we are insensitive and uncaring around those who are afflicted with some debilitating or deforming disease or ailment. I told you about the time with my sister-in-law, my younger brother John's wife. Her name is Faye. She had an uncle, Odell Smith, who had skin cancer that had eaten its way through the right side of his face. And needless to say, the man was the recipient of many cruel jokes. And he was a grave digger. He was a grave digger by profession, which only added to the ridicule and abuse he received. He couldn't find any job because no one would want to hire him to be in a position that where he would be around people. And so to many in the town, you know, he was just a freak, a monster who lived out in the cemetery. I didn't know Odell all that well. I met him only a couple of times, but his brother was my youth minister at the Elman Hutchin Church of Christ in Altus, Oklahoma. And Odell was also a brother in Christ. Faye's uncle was admitted to a Oklahoma City hospital after becoming deathly ill with this disease. And Brenda and I drove her to the hospital from Altus to Oklahoma City Hospital. And after we got there and got off the elevator on his floor and headed toward his room, he was lying in his bed out in the hall. The people just passed by. They passed by, they just stared at him. Some snickered. Others, you know, would say make disgusting faces or make hurtful remarks. And Odell had only one eye, his left eye. But I'm sure that he could see clearly how the people reacted toward him. And many, even including a couple of the nurses that Faye had to correct, treated him like he wasn't even a person. You know, much less a child of God. And although much of his face had been eaten away with cancer, I mean, what hurt him most was a broken heart from the way that people just mistreated him. You know, most acted the way, you know, that way because, I mean, they were really just ignorant people. And they acted that way out of ignorance, but that still did not relieve the hurt. I mean, a few months later, God took him home where he is certainly surrounded by love and acceptance. But, you know, as this leper approached Jesus, you just know that the people just scattered everywhere as quickly as they possibly could to get away from this unclean man. I mean, many people during this time associated leprosy with sin and was a result of God's punishment. And it's true that God did certainly give some leprosy because of sin. I mean, Miriam, the sister of Moses, is an example of that. But certainly not every leper was a sinner. But this didn't matter because every leper was treated like a sinner. And that's why there was no compassion whatsoever extended to the lepers, because it was believed that they got exactly what they deserved. But this man, I mean, he didn't care about what anybody thought. He had heard about the loving compassion that Jesus had for the hurting, and so to walk up to Jesus, I want you to think about this. To walk up to Jesus while surrounded by a crowd of people, knowing how they would react, took a lot of risk on this man's part. But here he comes. I mean, he you know, there was something that he knew about Jesus. And we can see here, as we just noticed, the leper's faith. Again, in verse 2, when it says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Do you hear the words of faith there? If you're willing, you can make me clean. Now, there's no demand in his voice. There's no presumption in his request. Only the humble acknowledgement that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God. And in the heart of this sick man, there was faith that Christ can make him clean. And his only hope was, would he? Would he? So throughout the ministry of Jesus, you see how the weak and the broken often found Christ long before the strong and the self-satisfied. I mean, those who were humbled by their suffering and pain did not find it hard to come to Jesus. He offered them hope and acceptance and love and peace and real joy, even in the midst of their pain and suffering. While on a mission trip, a preacher named Jack Hinton was leading worship at a leper colony on the island of Tobago. In the Caribbean, and a woman who had been facing away from the pulpit turned. "It was the most hideous face I had ever seen," Hinton said. "The woman's nose and ears were completely gone. She lifted a fingerless hand into the air and asked, 'Will you count your many blessings?'" And overcome with emotion, Hinton left that service. I mean, he was followed by a team of a member who was part of his team, and that member said, "I guess you'll never be able to sing that song again." "Oh, yes, I will," Hinton replied, "but I'll never ever sing it the same way." Here was a woman whose face had been eaten away, had no fingers, and said, "I want to sing, 'Count Your Many Blessings.'" Amen. But then now let's take a look at the cleansing Savior. Now Mark tells us in Mark chapter 1, verse 41. He said, "Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him." Now I want you to understand that Jesus didn't have to touch him. In fact, in Luke chapter 17, we read that just by speaking, Jesus healed 10 lepers who stood at a distance from him. But the compassionate Savior knew that this man needed more than just healing. I mean, he needed acceptance. And there's no telling how long it had been since he had ever felt the human touch, except for that of other lepers. And despite the gasp and the disgust of the crowd, Jesus reaches out and he touches the leper, saying, "Be clean." And by touching the leper, Jesus breaks the letter of the law. I want you to listen to this. Jesus breaks the letter of the law. Moses commanded, "Do not touch a leper." Jesus breaks the letter of the law to uphold the law of love and compassion that God had for hurting people. Friends, I want you to know that Christ is not ashamed to make contact with the untouchables of society. He's not ashamed to make contact with the worst of sinners. And although we may not have lepers among us, there are those in our communities who are often treated like lepers to some extent. Jesus was under constant scrutiny by the Jewish religious leaders because he reached out to people who felt they simply were just unworthy because of their sinful lifestyle. And Jesus was accused of being a friend of sinners time and time and time again because he ministered to sinners. And we need to understand too, we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks, we'll be talking about some of the very people in our communities that many in our churches, many in our church leaders also avoid and shun because of their sinful lifestyle that they have chosen. We'll be discussing that as well. And it's true that Jesus never condoned the sin of others, but neither did he turn sinners away. Instead, he reached out and he touched them in such a way that made them realize that the life that he had to offer was a much better life than what they were living. We can only imagine how this man must have felt as his leprosy disappeared. The unclean became clean. The scales dropped off, giving him smooth skin once again. His sores disappeared, and the foul odor that accompanied him dissipated. His hair returned. His fingers and toes that had been eaten away by this disease grew back. His facial features were restored. His life of loneliness and rejection were replaced by the loving embrace of his family and friends. The deep sorrow that had been part of his life for such a long time was now consumed by an inexpressible joy, all because he had faith. He had faith to come to Jesus and say, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And brothers and sisters, friends, we have the same cleansing Savior today. I mean, he may not reach down and touch us to take away all of our diseases, but he will touch our lives and make us whole. Faith's gift was not just physical healing, and I know that was wonderful, but this man was restored to God, to his family, to his society, and to himself. And God is in the restoring business. Amen. God, say that with me. God is in the restoring business, whether one comes to God crying out for cleansing or one returns to the leper colony of sin. He's able to take a person in any situation and give them a life by his cleansing touch. That's the touch of the Master. Have you ever felt like you are lost in the crowd of humanity? Have you ever felt like, can God really know me among 7+ billion people on the face of this earth? Can God really know who I am? I want you to know that God always notices faith. He always notices faith, even the faith of the untouchables, those whom society ignores. I want to close by reading one of my favorite poems. It is written by a woman named Myra Brooks Welch, and it's entitled The Touch of the Master's Hand. And you may have heard this poem before. In fact, I think that there may be a song now using these same lyrics, using the words of this song, of this poem, I forget. Listen very carefully. "'Twas battered and scarred, and the old auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin. He held it up with a smile. What am I bid for the old violin? He'll start the bidding for me. $1, he'll make it $2. $2, he'll make it $3. $3 once, $3 twice, going for $3, But no. From far in the back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. And wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loose strings, he played a melody soft and sweet as a caroling angel sings. The music ceased. And the auctioneer, with a voice soft and low, said, What am I bid for the old violin? And he held it up low. $1,000. And he'll make it two. $2,000. And he'll make it three. $3,000 once, $3,000 twice. Going and gone, said he. And the people cheered. And some of them cried, We don't understand. What changed its worth? Swift came the reply, the touch of the master's hand. And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, and again he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice, he's going and he's almost gone, but the master comes. Never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Oh, I love that so much. I love it so much. And if you've ever been in the world and you left that behind and you gave life to Jesus, you understand exactly what this poem is talking about. I was raised in the church all of my life. And, you know, and although, you know, certainly as an adult, you know, I involved myself in so many things, but I involved myself in these. I'm glad that God touched my life again and that He is a forgiving Father, that He loves us deeply. And he wants us so much to live our lives for Him. Because what Jesus says, so much infinitely greater than what the world has to offer. Just come to me and let me touch you. We're going to be singing the invitation song during this invitation song. It's just an opportunity for us to just look deep within our own lives and our own souls. And see what it is that God wants us to do. To see what it is, to see how God wants us to live. To see what it is that we are doing in our own lives that just does not please our Savior. And yet Jesus is there with open arms and says, come. I love you. I care for you. Let me touch you. Let me touch you. If you're here today, if we can help you, pray for you, whatever the need might be, we ask you to come as together we stand and we sing.